we've seen throughout our Lenten season that we have a hard time seeing as we should. Our perspective is distorted. There is darkness, not in this world. And yet throughout our Lenten season, we've also had the light of Christ shining, guiding us back to seeing from God's perspective, to see God's goodness, love, and grace. And today we see that even in the face of all of this, even as Jesus has worked to make the light and love of God known, we still miss it. We still fall short. Our perspective is still skewed. Our story is full of darkness today. As horrible and awful things happen that lead to Jesus' crucifixion. We hear of betrayal, abandonment, denial. We hear of injustice, false witnesses, failed government. And throughout our story, there's only one who consistently sees clearly, and that, of course, is Jesus. Jesus knows exactly what is happening. Indeed, he has told the disciples for quite some time that he will be handed over, that he will suffer and die, that we heard on the third Sunday of Lent that Jesus would be lifted up as the snake was lifted up in the wilderness. Jesus has known this is coming, and even in our story today knows and demonstrates that he knows who will betray him, that his friends will abandon him, that Peter will deny him. And even as Jesus sees this clearly and articulates it to those around him, the warped perspective remains. That they cannot see this for themselves. The disciples and Peter argue vehemently, "No, Lord, we would never deny you. We would never give up on you." I have to imagine that Judas as well does not foresee having any regrets about betraying Jesus, though of course we know that he does. And based on his regrets that he knows Jesus is an innocent man, it seems likely, to me at least, that he cannot understand how Jesus will not get out of this. That he has a warped perspective about the future of this trial, has a warped perspective about the hatred in men's hearts towards Jesus. Of course, you know that warped perspective, though, so well from those outside of Jesus' intimate group. The religious leaders demand Jesus' death. They see in Christ a blasphemer and a deceiver. They too are blind in this. There's a glimpse of light as Pilate's wife says that he is innocent. And yet Pilate still hands him over to death. This does not change the outcome as the crowds who oh so recently had cried Hosanna now cry out for Jesus' crucifixion, demanding the release of Barabbas instead of the release of Jesus. We know, from our perspective, that this makes no sense. And yet we also know how easy our perspectives are warped without Christ, how this darkness clings to us. And while the humans in our story don't seem able to grasp this, the creation certainly does. The whole earth goes dark from noon to three. The world must acknowledge at some level the darkness that is happening, the warped perspectives that are occurring. And Isaiah reminds us today that this is nothing new. This is how humans have acted before Jesus and how humans act, yes, still today. We still do not always see as clearly as we should. But Isaiah himself encountered this as he was given words to sustain the weary, and for doing so he was persecuted, ashamed, sat upon, struck. And this is how humans treated him. Sought to share the word of God that brought healing and restoration to those who needed it most. Of course, this is what happens to Jesus, who is the word of God, who brings healing and restoration to a weary humanity, to bring and share with us the life that truly is life. And we, in our warped perspective, don't just spit upon him and insult him, but demand his death. Isaiah, of course, shows us where our perspective is to remain in the midst of darkness, and it is fixed upon God. He says, I know God is still with me, nonetheless. I will persist in using my voice to build up the weary, even when I am attacked and persecuted for it, because I know that God has asked me to do this. I know that God is standing with me and supporting me. And with God on my side, I can do it, come what may. This, of course, is what Jesus is doing as well. Even though the whole world rejects Jesus, even though his closest friends abandon him, even though he is left by himself, his awareness of God's perspective, of God's will, carries him on. He will accomplish the mission for which he was sent. You see this, I think, most clearly at Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me, but if not, I will do your will. Jesus makes this prayer after he knows and has demonstrated clearly that Judas will betray him, that Peter will deny him, that he will be abandoned. Even so, he says he will persist. He will continue in this mission. He will not give up on us and on this world. Even when he discovers the disciples who he's brought with him, Peter, James, and John, who he's asked to remain awake with him and hold vigilance, have not, that they have fallen asleep, and that they do this multiple times, and they cannot, even though their spirit is willing, keep their flesh in line, following what Christ is at. Even then, Jesus still says, no, I will choose to suffer and die for them. I will choose to carry out the mission I was entrusted with. We see Jesus doing this even in Gethsemane, when the crowds come out against him, swords are drawn, his disciples seek to save him through force, and he gives that up. No, we turn the sword to its sheath. I did not come to save myself through force. Jesus is telling us here, I came to die, that you may have life. Indeed, we are reminded that at any moment, Jesus could have asked for a legion of angels to come and save him. But such is the mind of Christ that he gives that up every step of the way in order to continue in God's will, in order to accomplish the purpose for which he came, knowing just as assuredly and with all confidence that he would be seated at the right hand of God in power. Such perspective Jesus has and holds on to. Such as the light of God still shining even in the midst of all the darkness that would surround it. And of course, there are others who have caught glimpses of that light shining. And there are the women who have gathered around the cross. There's the centurion who witnesses Jesus' death and says, this is truly the Son of God. There's Joseph of Arimathea who goes with boldness to take Jesus' body, place it in his own tomb, still caring for Christ. But even in these glimpses, we know that we will have to sit with the darkness of what we have done, the darkness of our work perspective for a few days before we see the fullness of God's light shine forth. Even so, like these women, like Joseph, like the centurion, we catch a glimpse of God's light still shining here in this meal that we share. Christ still comes to us in this bread and wine, body and blood, and reminds us that yes, even in the night in which he was betrayed, he would share such a meal with his betrayers. He would share such a meal with those who abandoned him the night. And this is good news for us who still have warped perspectives at times. We may find ourselves betraying, denying, and abandoning Christ through our own actions, our own words, our own thoughts. Even so, Christ would still share a meal with us today, would still seek to give us Christ's own body and blood to share with us God's grace and God's mercy. Such a reality reveals the truth of God's love that is far greater than anything we can ask for or imagine. That Christ would still draw near to us in our warped perspectives, even when we have sought to follow Christ, when we have seen the light all along, and we still have a hard time seeing as we should, Christ draws near to us. We experience this truth again as we know this love of God. May we draw near to others. Others who find themselves in the same warped perspective, we be willing to share fellowship and a meal with others who need to hear the length to which this word of God is willing to go to offer us life. For this amazing gift that Christ offers to us, for this word of God that still seeks to sustain the weary, to offer life, healing, and wholeness to a world shrouded in darkness. This wonderful news that God persists in loving us and in caring for us in this way. We can only say in response to such a wondrous, gracious gift this is. Thanks be to God. Amen.